Thank you, Brother Chuck. So tonight it's going to be a little different for you, I guarantee it. But let me introduce the video we're going to show. It's about 5 minutes long, but I'm going to do a lot of talking through it as we go through it. So bear with me, because we're going to be talking about a lot of different phases as we kind of go through this video. So what the video is 14 years ago, roughly, I was at camp for the first time in my life. I went with my son, Corey. And while we were at camp, I had this plan. My plan was I was going to go golfing. I was going to the Fourth Falls. I was going to go do any activity that was fun. There, Damon was going to be there. Well, the first activity was the very second morning, the first morning we arrived, we were going to Fourth Falls. Who's been to Fourth Falls? So if you know, by the phrase of Fourth Falls, you know where I'm talking about. And so I'm going to Fourth Falls on this hike early in the morning, and we got to a place where you have to climb down basically branches or limbs or roots or something to get down 4 or 5 feet down. I can tell you that day, the only thing that I saw that fell or fall would be me. And I broke my ankle. See, God had a different plan that day for me. He didn't want me to go there for Damon, even though that's what Damon decided he was going to do. God had a different plan. And luckily, Damon got on board with the plan. And I was, as I was there I had so many, if you've seen the movie, Tim Allen, where he plays Santa Claus, and he's sitting on a bench, and there's this line of kids that's coming, even though he doesn't look like Santa Claus, except the gray beard, and he's had hair. I don't have hair. But that's the way I felt. I felt that all of a sudden all these kids started coming by every day. I guess they heard about the guy who broke his ankle, and they wanted to see how he was doing, and they came by, and almost without fail, as we had the conversations, it quickly turned. They would ask how I'm doing, but I turned around and started asking how they were doing. And I started, so what are you learning about today? What's God speaking to you about today? And through that week, God really started laying upon my heart, hey, look, there's a bigger thing going on here, and I need you to pay attention. And wow, was he ever correct in it, that all these years later, and we're going to kind of see some of these visions of what God put on my heart. And so what God spoke to me about and what my heart interpreted, you're fixing to see on screen today. First time, you're the first person, people that are going to be seeing. You may have seen some screenshots, but this is what God put on my heart. And you're going to see a bigger vision, and it may not be in Damon's lifetime, and that's okay. If you will start the video, we'll get talking through it, and we'll kind of go through this quick as we can. So you can see this is the entryway when you first enter the camp. Again, this is not what it looks like today, but it will be in the future. Over off to the left, you'll see the bunkhouses. Pastor talked about the bathroom facilities. That would be one of those buildings back there in the back. As we kind of progress through this, you're going to see a double-wide trailer. It's got like this beautiful deck and all that around it. You see it? That is not what it looks like today. It looks like a double-wide trailer. But that's where Corey and Heidi are living and why they go down to the land. And we do not have one of those nice 4x4s, but we will get one. What you're seeing now is really be part of phase two. It will be actually open air. It won't be a walled. But basically, it will turn into our kitchen. And we'll probably use it as an open air for a while for preaching services and dinner time. As we kind of progress up the hill, we'll kind of go to the left. And what you're going to see is a couple of homes. And what we want to do is be able to build three or four sponsor houses or houses for Corey and for anybody else that comes on full-time staff out at the camp. And so that's what you'll see kind of here at the back. And we'll quickly turn in off to the right. What you'll start to see is, I think, I didn't see Karen's house, but it's in there somewhere. So what you're starting to see now is our maintenance area, and that's where we can build bunk beds and do maintenance on vehicles and all that fun stuff. Boy, I wish we had that tractor. We don't. But you can see, again, from our vision, so we had this great company come out and take and put what we put on paper to put it onto a video. For those who come with RVs, we're going to have a little area for RVs to park so they can hook up, because we know a lot of people, pastors, preachers, who travel. So we want to have a place for them. There's about 8 to 10 of these bigger cabins. It'll sleep about 40 in our plan. That'll probably happen somewhere between phases 5, 6, and 7, so that'll be later on through the process. Each one of them will sleep about 40 kids, and so we're excited when we get to that point because we will be progressing along pretty well. And so that's kind of what you're looking at here. There's about 20 kids on each side, and in the middle will be a kind of a common area, and of course restrooms will actually be all in the building and not a separate building. I'm sure the kids will like that. As you kind of travel through the woods, there's going to be some places where there's zip lines and, of course, all those kind of things. So you'll see little towers. That's what those are. They come from the lake, and they'll kind of work their way through the back. So you'll actually interchange and get off of one zip line. You can jump on another, and it'll run you across the other side and get on another one and run you across the other side. So it'll be a fun time. There'll also be some activities like shooting ranges for when we have adults out. We'll have a rifle range and some of those kind of things at the back as well. We're kind of cutting around the back of the property right now. All it is trees. Then we'll get to the other side, and this would be the girls' side of the camp. It's basically doing the same thing, all the dorms, hosting about 40 kids with the inner place. And we're going to try to build, you can see these little fire pits with swings and all that really cool stuff, so they can have some devotional times if it's nice weather outside and all that while they're out. Coming up, you'll see off to the left will be, I believe, is the chapel. Well, there's going to be a lot of girls. All right. It should be the chapel. We're going to look at the left, and it'll actually look over our lake, and we'll see the lake that we're going to have to expand out. So the chapel actually will be up on a little hill and a rise at looking out. We're hoping at that point it will seat about 500 is our heart and goal. This will be a building that we'll do for couples and some of that. There'll be a bunch of like hotel rooms. You saw a little amphitheater. We have a little what looks like a Western town, and that will be where we can have arts and crafts. There may be a coffee shop and some of those kind of gift shops and some of that stuff. Of course, you see our big game field that we'll have, and then we'll kind of curve back around. We'll look at that one building we started with, and then we'll kind of cut around the corner, and the last building that we will face will be probably our biggest challenge. It is going to be kind of the center point that eventually will host the coffee shop. It'll hold conferences. It'll hold, have a big sanctuary as well. And it's probably where we'll start to have church services before we go to actually building the building that will be our ultimate sanctuary. So there's a lot to happen. A lot has to go on between now and then, and like I said, I most likely will not be alive unless somebody here can write a check for $2 million, done. We'll be there in no time. So that's kind of our vision of where we want to go. As you can see, it's a big vision, and it kind of can be overwhelming at times. So you got to kind of take it, how do you eat elephant, one bite at a time, and that's how we're trying to do Build Camp Liberty. One bite at a time, debt-free, and trying to build it as God provides it. So one of the needs was $16,000. Pastor talked about that. But he doesn't know. Is he listening? He doesn't know because we just found out that something really special is happening at the end of June. We have heard and committed to from another company that there's Christian builders who's willing to come in and help us. They're planning on bringing 35 to 40 men who are builders to build this. So the $16,000 that will be raised if God answers that prayer through you, not will build one, but it will build both, complete. So praise the Lord for that God's opening up a timing in an amazing way. So pray about supporting it. So there's some big days ahead. So even if they come out and build it, we got to prepare and build an area and place for these buildings to go. Because I told you there's a lot of trees out there. So we do have some work days. I want you to keep in mind if you can help the weekend of June 7th and 8th, the 21st and 22nd, and also the weekend of the 29th. Because there's going to be a lot of work that needs to get done to clear the path, clear the way so we can start building and moving these cabins into place. All right, so that's all for the camp that I'm going to go through because I know I am on a timeline here. And I want to make sure that I get to what God has to say, not what Damon has to say, because what I have to say isn't that important. I'll just tell you that up straight. And so today's theme seems to be around choices, because this morning I heard our pastor bring up, hey, look, God made a choice for you and for me. He made a choice to send his son for you and for me. So tonight's message I've entitled, How Do We Respond to Difficulties and Disappointments? And we get to choose. We get to decide. Tonight we're going to look at the life of Joseph. But I'm going to start off, I want to start off with the verses in Hebrews. So if you turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, we'll be reading verses 13 through 16. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 13 through 16. And this will be a good starting point before we jump over and start looking at the life of Joseph. It says, and make straight path of your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, and be it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fall or fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So there's two ways as we can look at this. Make straightway your path with your feet, or not. And if you choose not to, what's going to happen is there's going to be a consequence. And the consequence is, look, people are not going to be healed. Same thing, it moves to the second verse, follow peace with all men and holiness. We have a choice. We can do it or not. But if we don't do it, then people are never going to come to know the Lord or see the grace of God through us. And lastly, if we don't do it, bitterness can come into our heart. We get a choice. How am I going to react? How am I going to respond? If I have bitterness, then people are going to be lost. Because how in the world can you ever share your faith with someone if you walk around bitter and angry and mad all the time? I don't like my circumstances, so I'm going to take it out on everybody else. But God needs you to do something differently. And boy, we're going to see it. Of all the people that we can study, if we look at Joseph, he had the right to be mad. He had the right to be angry. He had the right to be bitter, but he chose a different route. Right? We know Joseph was well favored by his father, so much that he was given a coat of many colors. We know that God blessed him in a wonderful way, gave him the ability to interpret dreams. But we also know Joseph had a little bit of pride issue here. Because we can see when Joseph goes out and starts telling his brothers, he's always wearing his coat, and he's the only one who got it. No other brother has it. And he flaunts that thing and wears it everywhere he goes. Two, as he starts to interpret the dream, he has one, and he knows it affects his family, so what does he do? He goes and tells his brothers, hey, I had a dream last night. Let me tell you about this dream, because the dream I had, you guys are bowing down to me. You know that went real well. Oh, yeah, it was horrible. Right? And that's kind of where we're setting up to this story tonight, is that, look, we got to be careful. Right? How we present ourselves and how we allow God to present himself through us affects other people. So our message tonight really doesn't concern the decisions that the brothers made. Because we know what happens when Dad sends Joseph out to check on the brothers. They weren't where they're supposed to be. They went somewhere else. They went to Dothan. And Joseph, when he went to go find them, had to ask around, they should be here. Have you seen them? And then somebody said, no, I heard they went to Dothan. So he goes to Dothan. Well, guess what? They can see him coming. Why? He's got the coat of many colors. He's wearing it, flaunting it. They see him come from all far off, and they are already getting mad. Old daddy's boys coming out to check on us. And they are so angry and so mad that they throw him in a pit. Luckily, a little bit of common sense comes in, and they don't let him leave him there to die, and they pull him out, and they sold him into slavery. Yeah, I'm about to start my message, just so y'all know. I'm just doing a little setup today. right? Because I got to make sure you know where we are. And so he sold into service to Potiphar and put into Potiphar's as a slave under Potiphar, who's a very well-known political man under Pharaoh. So tonight, as I start, look, he had a decision to make. Man, he could say, man, look, I am going to have a worse attitude in the world. Man, this guy is not going to like me, and he will want to get rid of me. I'm not going to be in service for somebody. I can't believe my brother's going to do this. And one day when I get back to my brothers, boy, I'm going to show them. That could have been his attitude. And that's the way so many people in this world today, Christians included, take the easy way out. I was watching a social media experiment, if you will. Now, this is not a bar of silver, but it represents. This is a Hershey bar, and it's not mine. It's my granddaughter's. I still have it. I did not eat it. She was worried. She didn't want to loan it. But here's what happened. A man walked down the street, and he had a bar, 10-ounce bar of silver, and he had a Hershey bar. And he went down the street, and he offered everybody he passed until he ran out. I think he had like 10 Hershey bars. How many people do you think chose Hershey bar? Or how many people do you think chose the 10-ounce? I'll tell you, zero chose the silver bar. All 10 of them chose what was easy, because I can eat it right now. What they didn't think out, what was best. They chose easy, didn't choose best. Because this 10-ounce bar of silver is worth $150. They could have bought 150 Hershey bars, but they chose the easy. I'm afraid that's what happens so many times in our life. We choose the easy over the best. So let's see how Joseph goes. So my 3 points tonight are this. How does Joseph deal with difficulties? How does Joseph deal with disappointments? And finally, how does Joseph deal with destiny and his final decision? So let's jump right into Joseph deals with difficulties. If you'll turn to Genesis 39, 5 through 6. Genesis 39, 5 through 6. Because see, we know Joseph just got sold into slavery. He's working in the house of Potiphar. And he should have a really bad attitude. But I think we're going to see through this scripture that is not the case. Genesis 39, 5 through 6, and it says, and it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer, that's Potiphar making Joseph overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that Joseph, he, had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had into Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught what he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Wow. You just got sold off by your brothers. You thought about killing you, and your attitude is, hey, I'm going to do what's right with God. I don't know why I'm here, but I want to do what's right for God. And that's exactly what he did. I wonder if what we would decide to do. If someone we knew that I was a brother, or our brother, sister in Christ, how do we would we deal with them? Would we love them and forgive them, or would we hold bitterness in our heart? But surely Joseph had struggles. Joseph was not treated necessarily fairly, but he wanted to bring glory to God no matter what his circumstance. And it's not long difficulties come. As he's serving in the house, serving Potiphar, his wife keeps making inappropriate advances towards him. And he keeps telling her, no, leave me alone. One day he goes into Potiphar's home to take care of some business, and sad to say, it was him and her, nobody else in the home. And she comes up and approaches him. He does everything in a way, even to so much that he took off his coat and left it in her hands as he fleeted. she goes and tells and gives false witness against him. We see in Genesis 39, 19 and 20, if you want to turn there, Genesis 39, 19 and 20, and it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. Man, Joseph has another decision to make. Man, my brothers betrayed me, and now this? I did nothing wrong, and yet somebody made an accusation that's 100% not true. Boy, one day I'm going to show that person. One day I'm going to get even. Boy, I'm not going to do anything that's going to help anybody else. That's not what he decided to do. He decided to put God first, that no matter where I am, no matter what circus, no matter what lies are told about me, I'm going to do what's right. Right? So in Genesis 39, 1 through 25, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. Now he's in prison. And this is what it's being said. You thought, well, I just went back. No, God's saying the same thing again. And gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he, Joseph, was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made to prosper. Wow. That's hard to fathom, that he, being betrayed by his family, now being betrayed by somebody he really didn't know, and yet he had the right attitude. Hey, look, there's a lot of us who have jobs that we don't really care about. We wake up on Monday morning and go, oh, I got to wake up and go to that place again. Bad day. Can it be Thursday? We hate Mondays. But can I tell you, look, do you realize God put you there for a reason? There's somebody at your work that needs to hear the gospel. There's somebody that you need, that you're there for a purpose, and God put you there. And if you're not doing it there, you're wasting God's time and you're wasting yours. You know, God's not going to move you. God's not going to bless you and send you somewhere else until you fulfill what he sent you there to do. He wants you to be busy. Hey, we heard a story tonight about a guy named Jonah. He had a decision to make, and he made a really bad one. But God didn't say, oh, let me just move you somewhere else. No, he brought a fish along and took him over there. Dropped him out right where he needed to be. Now Joseph has another decision. Now what do I do? I didn't want to be here. I don't like these people. But I still have to make a decision. Guys, all of us have to make decisions in life. We make them every day, 1,000 times a day. My question is this. I wonder if when we make our decision, we say, hey, what's best for me? What's easiest for me? Here's what's easiest. Easiest is just showing up. What's hard or what's best is doing what's right. And sharing the gospel with someone and loving someone enough to invite them to church. So Joseph had to make a decision. Joseph made the right decision even though he was in prison. Joseph became a leader. It's going to move us to the next point where Joseph deals with disappointment. While Joseph is in prison, everything under his hands, there's two gentlemen that show up. And again, everything's under his hands, whatever he says. So he's got to check up on everybody. And there was two men that were there that as he walking down, he sees them looking on the ground and really depressed and bothered. And he says, what's going on? What's wrong? He says, look, the problem that we're having is we had these dreams and we don't know what they mean. Joseph going, I got this. So he asks the butler, what happened? Tell me what happened. He tells him his dream and he tells the butler, hey, great news. In 3 days, your head's going to be lifted up and you're going to be put back into the butler role, back under Pharaoh. He said, oh, great. With the good news, the baker said, great, I'll share my story. And he shared his story, and here it was that Joseph tells him a story. He said, hey, your head's going to be lifted up in 3 days too, but it's going to be with a noose around a tree, not the news you want to get. Well, in 3 days, guess what happens? Exactly what Joseph said. He tells the butler, look, as you leave, I need you to do me a favor, remember me. Don't forget me. Make sure you tell somebody I shouldn't be here. Who should be here? Potiphar's wife. Don't forget me. You know what happened? Oh, let's look. Genesis 40:23, it says, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Wow. You know, he sits in jail for 2 more years. By that time, he ought to be bitter and angry. He ought to be mad and frustrated. Boy, one day I'm going to get even with all these people. But he didn't. He did not. I can tell you he didn't. Because we can move on to this final point is Joseph's destiny and decision. After 2 years in prison, being falsely accused, being betrayed by his brothers, he had every right to be mad. Guess what? Who else has a dream? Pharaoh. Pharaoh has 2 dreams, and they sound pretty similar, except one has a cow and one has some corn. Right? And so he wants to get his dream interpreted, but everybody asks, they are just as confused as he is what these dreams mean. And here comes Mr. Brilliant Butler, who goes, huh, I should have had a V8. I remember somebody. There was somebody that I met in prison that interpreted my dream. Exactly what happened, he told me, and then he told him the story. So Pharaoh calls for Joseph, and Joseph appears before him. Oh, look, he has a decision to make. Boy, I can plea bargain here. I can say, hey, look, I'll interpret your dream, but here's what I need from you. Potiphar and the wife needs to go to jail. The butler, he needs to go back to jail. I want revenge. What's been done has not been right. It's not been fair. But he didn't. And not only did he not, I want you to hear how he responded to Pharaoh, because it sure is a lot different than how he responded to his brothers when he had his dream, when he said, look, I had a dream. I want y'all to remember that. I had a dream, and one day y'all will bow to me. Right? Let's listen how he responds to Pharaoh. Genesis 41:25, and Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. That is a big contrast. Now it's not about Joseph. Now everything he's saying is about God. I think God put him through all that he's been through because God needed to teach him humility. Because God hates a proud look. God can't use somebody that has a lot of pride that only thinks about themselves. God can only use us when we break our hearts and we say, God, it's not about me, it's about you. So I think Joseph has learned an important lesson. I think Joseph, Wednesday night service, pastor made a comment and I had to write it down. It's like, man, this is like right in line with my message. Sometimes we see God in our eyes, but what we really need to do is see God with God's eyes. And we truly see who God is, because God is so powerful. We tend to minimize who God is, but God is so much greater than we could ever imagine. And if we'll learn to put our trust and faith in him and not rely on ourselves and make our decisions thinking, hey, is this about me or is this about God? Am I making the decision for me, or am I making the best decision, including God in it? I wish that was the end of the story, but it's not. We got a few more minutes. But I do want to tell you, 7 years passed by because Joseph was put by Pharaoh in charge of everything. We know there were 7 years that everything was going to go great, and they needed a storehouse and build stuff up. And then the seven years after that, it's going to be famine. We're to that point. We're moving progressively fast here, and we're going to see that now that he's been put in charge and everything now is under Joseph's hand. Back on the home front, Jacob's concerned about food because they're in famine time. And he sends his other brothers to go to this land because he's heard about a man who's got all this under his hands and control, and they need to go see him to get food for the family. And when the brothers show up in Egypt to bow down, they did fall down and bow to this man, which God told Joseph that would occur. Because immediately he knew who they were. He knew those were his brothers. But boy, his attitude was a lot different that day. But he also could have said, you know what? Decision time. It's time to get even. My brothers are here, and I'll never forget the day. They threw me in a pit, and they sold me off into slavery. But let's finish up by starting to read Genesis 45, 1 through 5. If you've missed anything else, which is okay, listen now. This is where it gets good. Genesis 45, 1 through 5. And Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried. Caused every man to go out from him. He sent everybody away except his brothers. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brothers, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. They thought, boy, he is fixing to get even with us. And Joseph said unto his brothers, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither. For God did send me for you to preserve life. Guys, there's a bigger even story here. We're just going to start talking about the Hershey bar here. Because the life he preserved are those millions of people that lived there. But that's just a small portion of really what he was doing. Can you imagine? Do you think Joseph said, hey, look, I know what God's doing. I got thrown in jail. I know why. No. He had no clue why. But God did. See, God sat up there and he said, okay, look, all right, I've got to get Joseph to Egypt. How am I going to do that? Okay, I need Jacob to send him over to check on the brothers. And because look, they can't be here. I need them to go to Dothan because that caravan's going to be coming through there about a couple of hours. And I need to flatten their tire. They need to get there a little slower because he's got to walk over there. God had it all planned out. Hey, well, how am I going to get him into prison? But I can't just have him go to any prison. I need to make sure he goes to the same prison that Pharaoh sends his prisoners to. Woo! This gets deep and starts hurting your brain. Right? Because God's sitting there doing this, and we don't get it. We don't see it. But God does. And that's where we got to have faith and trust in him tonight. That he knows exactly why. Hey, read Matthew 1 through 16. Now, what's very interesting about all the story going through Joseph, there's a little break in between when he gets thrown in the pit and sold off by his brother, and there's a little stoppage before you get over to talking about now he sold off to Potiphar, which is weird. And it starts talking about this other guy, one of his stepbrothers. Huh. Anybody know who his stepbrother might be that's talked about? Judah? Now, why in the world is Judah all of a sudden coming up in this conversation? When this whole story all along has been going about Joseph. See, God was concerned about preserving life. Not the life of just those people, but for the life for eternity. Because the life of Judah needed to be saved because he would be the lineage that would bring forth Christ. So to save, that was the gold bar, the silver bar. Is look, it's great you're going to save a few people. But I need you to save one particular person. All what God did was for really one reason. Other things were benefits. He had to save the life of somebody who threw him in a pit and sold him off into slavery, his own brother. Wow, what a God who thought everything out. Look, we're all going to have disappointments. We're all going to have struggles, and which is how we deal with them that are going to make the difference. Now, there's some of you in this church, and probably some of myself in this church, that struggle with family members or struggle with a brother or sister in Christ. And you have hard feelings. Somebody hurt your feelings. You've made it about you and not about him. Tonight, you need to make some decisions that, look, of all the people, Joseph should be mad at his brothers, but you know what he did? He forgave them. He hugged their neck and he kissed them and he loved them. And he gave them more food than they ever needed, even though they betrayed him and did him wrong. There's somebody here that needs to forgive a brother and sister. I encourage you tonight to do that. There's somebody here that has a problem at work and hate waking up on Monday and don't give their very best. And there's somebody they should be sharing their faith with and they're not. Can I encourage you tonight? Man, turn it over to Jesus. Do your best. Do like Joseph, man. Don't live in regret. Frustration, be like Joseph and forgive and do your very best and work hard, and I promise you God will bless, and God's going to get you to that gold, that silver bar that's going to be more than you could ever realize. Just don't settle for the Hershey bar. More importantly, there might be somebody here that needs to get saved. There might be somebody here, look, I've never asked Jesus to come into my heart to forgive me of my sins. Look, I can't think of a better time to make a decision, because we all have to make one. You can decide to do nothing. And I tell you the answer, if you decide to do nothing, it's still a no. God did everything for us when he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. And all he's looking for from each one of us is, look, we need to confess with our mouth and receive what God did for us. Ask him to come into our heart and forgive us our sins so we can be saved. Tonight, I pray if there's someone who's never done that, tonight would be the night you decide Jesus over yourself. Pastor, I'll turn it over to you.
Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for just a moment. Thank you, Brother Damon, for that Bible message. We have some choices to make tonight. Are you here without Jesus Christ? Uncertain that when you die, you'll spend eternity in heaven, you can make the choice to turn from your sins this evening and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There may be some of us harboring bitterness this evening. Why don't you make the choice to forgive and give it to the Lord? Perhaps, folks, you find yourself in the pit, in the prison, wondering what God's doing in your life. I'm sure Joseph did as well. Why don't you make the choice to trust God with this season in your life? He knows you can't get to the palace without it. Father, thank you for this wonderful Bible message we've heard this evening, for this reminder of a character that you use so greatly. He made some choices that we desperately need to make tonight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me this evening? If you need to know Jesus as your personal Savior, we invite you, as the instruments begin to play and Brother Johnson leads us in a chorus, leave your place and come. Let someone take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Christian, has God spoken to you tonight? Why don't you come and find a place at this altar and do your business with the Lord? Lord, I don't understand this season in my life. I don't understand the circumstances that you've allowed right now. But just like Joseph, I'm going to make the choice to trust you. I'm going to make the choice to understand that you know what you're doing. And I'm not going to give up on you in this, God. I'm going to keep walking with you. The Lord is working in your heart. You come tonight. Brother Johnson, lead us.